The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, we come to you and I pray that you will just bless me as I share your word today with your church. And Father, I pray that you would lead me with your spirit and that this message would be received with gladness in the hearts and the souls and the minds of your body today. We lift this up in your hands now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to the 23rd Psalm? That would be Psalm 23. And this is a psalm of King David. This is probably one of the most well-known and most quoted scriptures in all of the Bible. And it probably is the very most well-known psalm written by King David. And I thought that today would be a good day to read and to speak on this word due to the fact that we just recently celebrated Easter and we had our Lenten journey together. And with that, sometimes we can go to Easter and it be a very a spiritual climax for us all, to where we get to this peak of spiritual excitement. And then the next Sunday, our churches might not be as full, and we might not be as spiritually excited. But I want to bring us back to the foundation and the fundamentals of our faith today, to come to this psalm, because it reminds us that even after the holiday of an Easter service, we still have a good reason to be grateful and to be excited, because we have a God who is good. And as we see in this psalm today, He is our good shepherd. And this psalm is spoken by David to remind us that we can have confidence in God. So let us read this today. Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The 23rd Psalm. In this psalm, King David is writing as he is running and fleeing for his life, and he is exhausted, he's hungry, thirsty, maybe potentially frightened. But even though there are many enemies seeking after him to destroy him, he has his confidence in his Lord and in his shepherd. And in this text, we see that he uses the imagery of a shepherd, which is interesting, because David was once a shepherd. Whenever he was a boy, he was a shepherd boy. But then he also, as the king of Israel, was known as a shepherd king. Many of the kings and the leaders of Israel would be known as shepherds. So it's interesting that the king of Israel, a person who had been a shepherd all of his life, but he doesn't refer to himself as a shepherd. Instead, he associates himself with being one of the sheep, and he recognizes his God as the true shepherd. And I find this to be humbling, because this is the king of Israel, and what he is saying is that he is nothing but a sheep. And if you know much about sheep, they aren't very intelligent animals. They also are not very good at protecting themselves. They can often find themselves getting into trouble. They don't have very much camouflage. They aren't very fast. They aren't very strong. Basically, when it comes to a sheep, they don't have a lot when it comes to being able to support themselves, which is why they become so dependent on their shepherd. And that is what David is saying that those who follow and trust in God are. They are humble sheep following the shepherd. So that is the question that I want us all to wrestle with today for the church and for those who are here with us today. Is the Lord your shepherd? Now, when I ask that question, I want to be clear. I'm not asking you, do you go to church? I'm not asking you if you label yourself a Christian. I'm not asking you if you ever prayed or read a Bible, or if you've ever said at one service that you want to ask Jesus into your heart. Though I'm not saying that there aren't important things, or these aren't important things to do in your life, but that is not what qualifies you to have the Lord as your shepherd. See, we'll see in John chapter 10, verse 27, this is what it means to have the Lord as your shepherd. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So what does it mean to have the Lord as your shepherd and to be a sheep? It means that you are someone who hears the voice of God, and when you hear that voice, you choose to follow. So, are you following God in your life? Are you on your own journey? Are you on God's journey today? And that's the question I want us to wrestle with, because here's the thing. In this psalm, we are going to see many wonderful promises and blessings that come with following God and having the Lord as our shepherd. But if you aren't someone who is willing to follow and be a sheep, then these blessings will not come with you. So I want to encourage and challenge you, if you've never chosen to turn from your sin, to follow the Lord and trust in Him, I want to encourage you to do so today, because there are going to be so many things that you see in this text that come with following the Good Shepherd. The first one that we see in Psalm 23 is, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What this means is that our God provides for His flock. He provides, "I shall not want." That means that I will not lack anything. If you are a believer in Christ, you lack nothing. God will supply all of your needs. And He's going to give a detailed list following this and all the different ways in which He does provide for us. Because our God loves us and He tends to our needs. See, what we see here is it says He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What this speaks to is He is someone who is concerned about us getting our spiritual rest. He makes us lie down. He knows that if we do it all on our own, if we rely on our own abilities, our own strength, we're going to get exhausted spiritually. But we have a God who ensures that He will give us spiritual rest. And then it says in these green pastures that He's going to feed us. God ensures that we are taken care of. And He gives us His word so that we can be fed. Now, this is a wonderful time in which we all have the ability to be in our Bibles a whole lot more. And some of you, I think, have found how hungry maybe you have been for the word as you've been reading more and being in devotion. But there's some of you who still haven't been in your word or in the Bible, and you have come to the point where you no longer have a hunger for the word of God. And you have become to this point where you are starved spiritually. But I want to call you to go to the word of God, because in it, He will feed you. But it also reminds us that when He says that He will lead us beside the still waters, that He's also going to quench our spiritual thirst
And he pours out his Holy Spirit on all of us. And that he will fall afresh on us so that we will be spiritually satisfied. Our God will feed us, will quench our thirst. He will give us rest. And all of this results in the text where it says, he restores my soul. See, when you have a God who is tending to all of your needs, it will restore your soul. Now, what restoring your soul means, well, what is your soul? Your soul is who you are as a person, the deepest parts of you, your will, your mind, your emotions, your personality, your life. That is what your soul is. And it says that God will restore it. Now, it doesn't mean that he's just going to clean it up a little bit, or he's going to just put a couple pieces of scotch tape on you to fix you up and make you look like you're almost able to work again. No, he restores your soul. That means that he makes you better and greater than you have ever been. So the God of the Bible is one in which you will tend to your needs and he will restore your soul. But then we also see here that it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Our God will lead us. He will lead you. He will give you direction for your life if you let him. And in this text, we can sometimes read this as he leads us in the paths of righteousness in the sense of he makes us righteous, or he shows us how to do the right things, which is true. God does do that. But I also think that in this text, it's saying that he makes sure that we go down the right paths in our lives. And I know as sheep, sometimes we don't like to go down the path that God has planned for us. And if it wasn't for God, there are many paths in our lives in which we never would have chosen for ourselves. But I can promise you that it's good to go down the path that God has for us, even if we don't understand why he's leading us down this path. See, my wife and I, we have a couple of huskies. And every once in a while, we'll take them on a walk because they are very energetic dogs. But we will keep them on a leash. And we will take them on a certain path because we know that it's the best for them and it's safe for them. But there have been many times in which they have gotten loose or gotten out of the backyard. And when they go out on their own, they run through traffic, they get into trouble, and they put themselves at risk. Likewise, sheep, whenever they aren't following their shepherd, can get themselves into trouble. But we have a God, if you choose to follow him, he will lead you in the paths of righteousness. So he will give you direction. He provides for you. But we also see that our God protects. See, as it says that he will lead us into the paths of righteousness, it's funny that the very next thing it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, as I said, sometimes God will lead us to places that are unexpected for us in our lives. David, as I said, was hiding, was running for his life. But he still recognized that even though he was in this very, very dark place, the valley of the shadow of death speaks to a very dark or dangerous place in which the sheep would be worrying or afraid from the fact of the predators nearby. But in spite of all that, David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. See, as a sheep walking with their shepherd, they have no need to fear any evil. I don't care if it's a physical, an emotional, a mental, or a spiritual evil. God is in control. And it says, you are with me. God is with his sheep. So you have nothing to be afraid of because your God is bigger than anything that you may handle or go through. And he says to promise that he will be with us. And it says, not only is he with us, just standing by, but it says that he will comfort us with his rod and his staff. See, this isn't just a shepherd that is standing by and watching. This is a shepherd that is so close that he is literally guiding you with his rod and his staff. So do you need comfort in your life? Do you need to know that you are protected? I want you to remember that you have a God who is with you. And I know that some might be anxious or scared or having some trouble during this time as we deal with the pandemic. But I want to remind you that even in the valley of the shadow of death, God is with you. God has not left, and he is still there, right there beside you. He has his rod and he has his staff, and he is there to comfort you at this moment. But you gotta let him. You can't resist. You need to take comfort in your God, because he cares for us. And in John chapter 10, verse 11, it shows us how much he cares for his sheep. John 10, chapter 11 says this. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus Christ did for all of us. He willingly gave himself. He suffered and he died on the cross for our sins. He knew that we needed protection, that we needed provision for our lives. And he willingly gave himself for us. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. But then we also see that our God prepares. See, in this Psalm 23, if you'll notice, there is a shift in the text. See, there's imagery about the shepherd and his sheep, but all of a sudden, it shifts from a shepherd to a friend. This is a friend who graciously hosts us. Those who are following God have a friend in God. And our God is willing and able and excited to openly welcome us in front of our enemies. Because it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, God will openly welcome you, and he will prepare a table, a banquet for you. That's the kind of God. He is not ashamed of you. He is proud to have you, to be a part of his family, and to consider you to be a friend. And our God will celebrate and rejoice with you. Because see, what it says here in the text, after preparing a table, God then anoints the head with oil and the cup runs over. This is a Jewish understanding in which whenever someone gets the oil out and it talks about running over and anointing the head, it has to do with celebration, a time of rejoicing. And that is what our God does when we come to the table that he has prepared for us. He rejoices. He celebrates with us. And he does this because he loves us. And I think this echoes or points to when Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John chapter 14. And it's verses 2 and 3. And we see here how God prepares for us. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, our God, he is going to prepare a place for us. In his Father's many mansions, there will be a place for us. See, our God, he won't forget you. He celebrates you and he welcomes you and he thinks of you as a friend. And that is what David reminds us of in this text. But then the last thing that I want to point to is that in Psalm 23, we see some promises of God. See, despite the valleys and the enemies that David endured and encountered, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, though David had some valleys, had some enemies, though he went through some dark times, he understood the spiritual blessings of God, that goodness and mercy personified would come and would walk with David and would follow him all the days of his life. Likewise for us, if you are following and trusting in God, there are spiritual blessings of goodness and mercy that will follow you. That doesn't mean that you won't walk through those valleys sometimes, but goodness and mercy will be with you as you walk through those valleys. And this all points to the fact that the reason that we have these blessings is a result of God's loyal love for us. That God, the Good Shepherd, will continue to lead, and it'll always be the right direction for our lives. And as we continue to follow and look toward that shepherd in our life, we will be in the house of the Lord forever. That means that we will be in his sanctuary. We will be in an eternal communion with God. To be in communion with God. It's a wonderful time to think about, and it gives us the opportunity now as the body of Christ to commune together. So if you have your communion and you'd like to partake with us and prepare it, see, communion points to the fact that we have the Good Shepherd who prepares a table for us, the Lord's table, for the Lord's Supper. And it reminds us that he was willing to protect us by laying his life down for his sheep. But it also reminds us that our God, he provided his lamb, his sacrifice on our behalf. So when we partake together today, we remember his broken body and his shed blood for us that was on the cross, so that we now can be in the house of the Lord forever. And that we, as we commune together, we are communing with our living Savior who resurrected and is now at the right hand of the Father. So let us partake today as we say the Lord's Prayer together and remember that the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want, and he will provide for all of our needs. We will lack nothing, and we can have confidence in God. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together, and then you are free to partake. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may partake. All right, we will now praise and worship our good God and our good shepherd today. So if you guys know this song, just follow along with Ryan and Brittany leading us.
Good morning. morning, everybody. Thank you, Zach, for that just awesome word of encouragement, especially during this time right now, this crazy time that we're living in. This morning, we're going to sing Waymaker together, and I just think this song is so appropriate for the time that we're just living in right now. I know there's a lot of fear and anxiety, depression and loneliness, and I just keep reminding myself that our God is he's a way maker and a miracle worker, and he keeps his promises to his kids. And so just sing with us today. We're going to sing Way Maker. You are here.